Blog Talk Radio.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters.
We're
now listening to Wealthy Sisters. We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters.
Deborah
Hornet. Well, hello, hello, and welcome to Wealthy Sisters Radio, brought to you by Wealthy Sisters Media Group, where we proudly promote positive people. You can visit us for all of your publishing and your branding needs at WealthySistersMedia.com. Remember, that's S-I-S-T-A-S, WealthySistersMedia.com. Today's episode is sponsored by our platinum partners, DHerbs.com, and I want to let you know that they are the number one seller, online seller of the full body cleanse. And I just want to put that challenge out to you today. Are you really, really ready for more energy, to feel better, more vitality, and perhaps drop a few pounds in between that? Well, I'm telling you, the full body cleanse is for you. You have to check us out here. Go to my show, my actual episode that I did with them. I did the cleanse. I have a tremendous testimony. It is a phenomenal way to jumpstart your health, and we're going to talk about that a little later in the show today as well. We also want to thank Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever, wherever, and however you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audiblepodcast.com/wealthysisters. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/wealthysisters. Well, Wealthy Sisters Radio loves connecting business with people, stories, and music. And our purpose is twofold. First, we love to provide you with that inspiration, encouragement, and always, as we stress, that practical knowledge that you can apply to your life and to your business for that positive impact right now. And second, we have to provide this platform, don't you agree, to edify, promote, acknowledge, and say thank you to the sisters for doing big things. I am Deborah Hornet, your host, broadcasting live on the Blog Talk Network. Yes, we just celebrated 5 years here, so excited about that. And you can always catch this show and all of our other great shows at WealthySistersRadio.com. Today is another awesome Tuesday, August 19, 2014, and we are celebrating life. That's what we're celebrating today. You want to join us in the celebration? Matter of fact, I think we need a round of applause for that. Let's celebrate life today. That's right. Great day, a great week for you, as we know that we have a great show here for you, as we promise every week here on Wealthy Sisters Radio. And next week, we thought we'd do it this week, but since this is the last month for the free commercial, we're going to announce the winners next week. So you make sure you tune in. And those of you who are listening, what is she talking about, free commercial? That's right. You can possibly get a free commercial here with us on Wealthy Sisters Radio, reach thousands every month. Get your brand exposed to professional women every month. And you could possibly get a free commercial here. And all you have to do is simply follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and join our mailing list. That's all you have to do. Join our mailing list at WealthySistersRadio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Wealthy Sisters. And your name, too, can be possibly pulled for that free commercial here on Wealthy Sisters Radio. Also, you know, it's that time for the question of the week. That's right. We need another round of applause for that. The business question of the week. This is a great opportunity for you so many of us who always have questions. Myself, I have been in business for over 25 years, and I tell you, I have learned a lot. But if I don't know the answer, I do have sense enough to go and research, find it out today. And that's what this show is all about. Our special question came this week from Rolanda from Dover, Delaware. Delaware? Delaware, that's right. I'm allowed to say that to all my Delaware friends out there. Love Delaware. But Rolanda, thank you so much for submitting your question. Her question was, she wanted to know, how can she get a loan for her business, with her credit? She said, not being very favorable. She experienced some challenges there, like many of us, and she wants to know, how can she bounce back to be able to get a loan for a business? So we know our very special guest today is going to help us with that question. So, Rolanda, thank you so much for submitting that. I want you to stay tuned to this show because our guest is going to answer that question for you today. And if you have a question that you'd like to share or you'd like us to ask, rather, answer for you, all you need to do is send it to family@wealthysistersradio.com. Just send the email with your information and your question, and we will probably pull it and answer it here for you on the radio. Or you can also send it to 800, or call us rather, 800-917-9435, extension 808. That's our hotline. Give us a shout out. Let us know what you think about the show. And also, again, you can put your question there at 800-917-9435, extension 808. And as we said, just remember, this show is for you, so we want to make sure that you keep in contact with us. Follow us again on Facebook and Twitter at Wealthy Sisters, and remember, join our mailing list at WealthySistersRadio.com. Well, if you've got any questions you'd like to ask on today's show, I want to encourage you to call, tell everybody right now, text them, Facebook them, tweet them, tell them to dial 347-838-9278. That's 347-838-9278. That's right, listening live, calling in, press 1 if you got a question on the line today, because this show is a phenomenal show. It's a great topic. We're talking about discovering financial ways to live, you know, really, really great ways that you can be financially free, but also to discover some debt relief strategies. Doesn't that sound good? Well, I tell you, we have an expert, a pro who has been all over the media. You look at Black Enterprise, ABC, TV1, you name it, Fox. She has been everywhere, and I am honored to have her on our show today. Ms. Sonya Smith-Valentine is a CPA and attorney and the president of Financially Fierce, LLC. Don't you love that name? Sonya works with corporations to improve employee financial literacy through financial wellness and debt relief. So without any further delay, we're going to take a short break and come back with our very special guest today, Ms. Sonya Smith-Valentine. With a name like that, you got to love her. I'm going to tell you that already, right? Stay tuned. You're listening to Wealthy Sisters Radio. We'll be right back after this short break.
Do you have a book that is ready to be published and you just don't know how? Does your company website need a facelift? Well, Wealthy Sisters Media Group is here to serve you. Publish your book and capture that brand new company look. Visit WealthySisters.com or call 800-917-9435 to take action today.
Do you find yourself overwhelmed in paperwork? Are you struggling with administrative tasks preventing you from doing what you really love? Then consider hiring a virtual assistant. Call M. Alexander & Associates, Incorporated, toll-free at 1-877-894-0564 or join them on the web at www.iwillassistyou.net.
We are live back here on Wealthy Sisters Radio. We are celebrating Life Day. Yes, we're bringing life and information that we're talking about today is bringing life to your finances and bringing you that debt relief. I want to also remind you that the Winter Summit Speaking of that, all of this great information, another great information, what way to get it in person and live and live in color at the Winter Summer 2015. Early registration has already begun, and it will be closing very soon. We have a few seats left for the Millionaire Luncheon. You could get a special ticket, a free ticket, rather, when you register right now with early registration. We even have payment plans available, so go to thewintersummit.com right now. Get registered. Submit your payment. Get in there. You don't want to wait to the last minute and not be able to be there at the Winter Summit 2015. That's the Winter Summit. Go to T-H-E-Winner, W-I-N-N-E-R-S, summit.com. All right. Well, hey, we're ready to get into this show. I want to just say thank you so much and welcome to our very special guest, Miss Sonya Smith-Valentine. Hello, Sonya. Welcome to Wealthy Sisters.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here today.
Yes, indeed. Well, I tell you, we are thrilled to have you on the show as we talked about this, and I know you know it, as you speak and travel all around the country, all around the world. This is a hot topic, being able to have information about financial freedom and ways that we can, you know, have debt relief strategies. This is a subject matter that I know you know all about just from all of your experience in this field. So we are thrilled to have you today.
I'm looking forward to it. I think we're going to have a fun time today.
Yeah, I know we are, absolutely. And, you know, Sonya, I tell you, I'm not sure if you've heard the word out on the street, but here at Wealthy Sisters Radio, we are a little nosy. We like to know. We like to know a little bit about you. You know, I'm a country girl. I'm from the South, and we say, where are your people from? Who are you from? Who are your people? We like to know a little bit of information so that our audience, they can relate, and they can really be able to say, you know, if she could do this or she has a friend, oh, yeah, I know what she's talking about. So why don't you share with us a little bit of information about where you grew up and how you actually got started on this path today?
Sure. Believe it or not, I'm a New Yorker. I grew up in New York, and as I tell people, even though I'm now in the Maryland, D.C. area, I'm still a New Yorker at heart. You can take the girl out the city, but you can't take the city out the girl.
Ah, so, no, that's right.
I moved down here. Yeah, exactly. I moved down here back in 2000, and actually, unlike most financial experts, my path was different. I was not the financial advisor who then decided to go out and start, you know, teaching and helping folks. I was first a CPA, and then I opened up my own law firm after law school doing personal finance and consumer protection work and spent years suing banks and credit bureaus and collection agencies. And so I took my experience both from being a CPA and then from all the years of doing all of this personal finance litigation and all the insider information that I learned from all the lawsuits to say, you know what, there's a way to get out here and let people know what's really going on, what's behind the curtain that they don't tell us, you know, and start to educate some folks. And then, you know, I also empathize with folks because most people don't know, but I've been in debt and I've had a lot of the problems. It's quite some time ago now, but I've been there. I've had the times when, you know, the collectors were calling and you're like, oh, my God, please don't let them find the car to repossess it. I've gone through financial challenges in my 20s, so I understand also, in addition to having the professional knowledge, I understand it also personally.
Well, don't you think, you know, that experience, being able to experience what you had, do you think that helps you serve your clients better because you can relate to it?
Absolutely. I think I'm often able to have a much better
You're breaking up a little bit. Did you move around or something?
No, can you hear me now? Am I clearer? I'm still breaking up.
You're still breaking up. Are you on a headpiece or?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Did it get better?
A little bit. Go ahead. Let's see.
Okay, because I tried to move the
information. Oh, that's it. That's it right there. We're good. We don't want anybody to miss this great information. So you were saying.
but, yeah, as I was saying, I think I have better relationships with my clients because, you know, often when people come in to see a professional of any kind, they're hesitant. Mm-hmm. They feel, you know, like they're in a inferior position, and I often want my clients to understand this is not about judgment. This is about trying to help you go forward. I want my clients to stop looking in the rearview mirror, and I want them to look out the windshield.
You know, I sent a tweet out about the show today, and we talk about that, you know, should – and I'm kind of jumping the gun here, but that whole shame that's around that, you know, should we really be – is there shame? Should we be ashamed of bankruptcy and things that, you know, that happen, you know, in the financial – why are we so hush-hush about that? Why do people – pretend like, oh gosh, their life is not in, you know, their challenges that they're facing. What is that mask that we have around that? I might be asking.
It frustrates me all the time because I think folks would start to get in a better financial position if they would start talking about it and stop pretending that everything's okay. If you were to talk to the people who are close to me and my friends, they would probably laugh because one of the requirements that I tell all my friends is don't come and say you've got the money to go to dinner when I say let's go to dinner. If you don't, like, tell me. I can't do that this week. My budget's not going to work. I'm not going to look at you and go, oh, I can't believe you don't have any money. I'm going to go, okay, I respect that. We'll wait until, you know, after payday, or maybe I'll say I'll treat. But I don't want you going into debt just to be able to have a meal with me. You know, so I've got most of my friends understanding you need to just be straightforward. I'm not judging you. If anything, I want to help you.
Right. That peer pressure. So as adults, you know, we talk about it here on Wealthy Sisters Radio. Peer pressure does not end. It magnifies itself in so many ways. And, you know, it's something that we do have to talk about. So great. So you were saying you started out in New York, you moved here, and you were suing. I mean, how incredible is that? You had a practice where you were suing banks and mortgage companies for practices that they were, I guess, practicing on their clients your clients. I mean, how... What led you to that path right there, first of all?
Well, I had already had a financial background, and I was having a conversation with another friend of mine who is also a CPA and an attorney like myself, and she was already doing that kind of work, and she says, I know you like fighting for the underdog. I think you'll like this. You should come to the conference where they train the attorneys and come and learn, and I went to the conference, and I was in love. I was like, you mean I can, for my next-door neighbor or my friend down the street, I can go after, you know, one of their credit bureaus because they've screwed up someone's credit report and force them to do what they're supposed to do? I love it. Let's go. I was on board, you know.
Wow. What are some of the things that, you know, and I know we'll get more into this, and you said this led you to what you're doing today. What are some of the common things that, you know, a person would sue the credit bureau for? I know you mentioned some of bad reporting or what have you, but what are some things that, I mean, we can sue a bank? You know, we don't just have to take it?
No. You know, the most important thing that I want to put out about if you get into a dispute with, you know, your bank or your mortgage company or your credit card company or there's some stuff on your credit report that shouldn't be there is, A, yes, you have the right to sue, and B, more importantly, it may not be that you have to pay for the attorney because a lot of folks didn't come in to me until long after the problem was going on because they were going, I don't have the money to pay for an attorney.
Right.
One thing I want folks to know is most of the consumer protection laws that exist let you sue the company, and if we win, the company has to pay for me, not my client. Often when I was doing these lawsuits, my client's paying me my fees. When we won or we settled the case, I got my fee from the credit bureau or the bank or the mortgage company that I sued. So I want folks to know, don't hesitate in going to talk to an attorney if this problem comes up, because mm-hmm. often you don't have to come out of your pocket.
Well, what are some of the things that a mortgage, like, can someone sue their mortgage company for? I mean, I know there's a lot of talk around not refinancing, but what's the word? That
the loan modifications.
The, modification, yeah.
Right.
I have a friend that's been back and forth. I mean, are there some things that they can sue around that?
Yeah. There are times when mortgage companies, just like any other company, screw up things. They screw up applying your payments. They screw up making sure that your taxes have gotten paid, mm-hmm. those kinds of things. I've gone after mortgage companies for that. I've gone after credit card companies for charges that are on my client's account that are not theirs. I've mm-hmm. gone after credit bureaus for accounts that don't belong to my client. Mm-hmm. I had a client who was an identity theft as a kid, and they wouldn't remove the information. I had a client who the credit bureaus listed him as dead, even though he was alive. all kind of mistakes and issues happen. Mm-hmm. I've got a client now where we're fighting with a mortgage company because none of the information in their purchase of their house ever got recorded with the state. So it still has the previous owners listed as the owners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you name it, it can happen, and I've seen it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they're supposed to do something often doesn't mean that that's what they're doing.
Right. And you know, it's human error. You know, business things happen. But I guess what my point, and I'm wondering, is where, as a consumer, as we are all building our businesses, very busy, trying to keep everything going, and, you know, some things we might miss. So what are some things that we can actually look at and know that, hey, there might be something to this that I can get them to take care of? Because as a business owner myself, there are plenty of things that I think of, but then I always think first, not the money, but do I have the time and do I have the energy to pursue that? What do you say to someone like myself that might have that question?
Well, you know, I always say, although you think you don't have the time, you need to make the time. Because often a small issue grows into a mountain.
And then
it is a big problem, and it takes takes some time to solve it. So, you know, I've seen folks come in and they're like, well, you know, I got into this fight with my credit card company over, you know, some supplies I bought from my company, and I didn't do that charge or whatever, and it was only $50. I'm not going to fight with them anymore, but you don't pay it. Now they've recorded it on your credit as you not paying, so now you've taken a hit. Now you, as the business owner, want to go apply for credit so that your business can grow, and you can't get the credit because they're looking at your personal credit going, hey, you've got this collections account. Because way back, that $50 has now snowballed into a big problem.
Okay. So are there normally statute of limitations on things like that? Like, I think of a credit card, a processing company, merchant, and you know, I used to sell those things, and sometimes those agreements can be very tricky, and a lot of times those salespersons are not always forthcoming, which was this case. And it was the same situation, just what you said. Okay, now you said this was not an agreement that I was locked into. It's not, you know, anywhere in writing, but yet they still want to say I owe this when I decided not to keep it. Are there statutes, and like me, I'm like, do I have time to fool with this? I get to this later. Are there statutes or limitations on those things, on something like that, a situation like that?
Usually most states have a statute of limitation. On average, most states have a 3-year limitation. So if there's a dispute, the company has 3 years to sue you about the dispute, and after that time passes, they can't sue you. However, 3 years is not automatically every state. So whatever state a person lives in, they'd have to look it up. But that's most states have 3 years if they're going to sue you on something. And even though your state may have a 3-year limitation or whatever the number is, by contract you can change that number. So you still have to read the contract that you've signed because, for example, you might be in Maryland and the merchant that you were dealing with is in Ohio. And
right.
The contract could say, well, we're going to use Ohio as the state laws that govern this contract. So you're thinking, oh, I'm in Maryland 3 years, but the contract said Ohio, and let's say Ohio has 6 years. Now you got 6 years that they could sue you. You can't just only go by, you know, where you live and what state is. You got to make sure, as they say, to read the fine print on the contract.
Right.
Because
right.
the contract could change it.
So in that case, though, so as an individual like myself or the business owner like myself, is there a statute of limitation that they can go after, have someone like you call you up, not someone, but call you up and say, Ms. Sonya Smith-Valentine, I need you to represent me because this company still has this on my credit and I did not owe this. You know,
right.
are there statute of limitations on that on our end?
Yes.
Okay.
On our end, when it comes to credit reporting, depending upon the situation, you're still looking at roughly a 2-year time frame for issues with the credit report. Now, if you've got somebody who's harassing you, let's say like a debt collector, and, you know, you didn't pay a debt, whatever, that time frame is only 1 year from the time they start harassing you. So that's a short time period. So the minute you start getting harassing phone calls, you need to go talk to somebody. But the good part is with credit reporting, even though you've got 2 years, you can actually restart the clock. There are ways in which we can dispute the information again and start a new 2-year clock going again, as they say, because it's based on when you've disputed information.
Okay, and I've heard that as well as creditors. I mean, if you start paying on it or if you acknowledge it, they can start the clock. So it's kind of like that. They can start that clock all over again as well.
Absolutely. So, you know, I always tell folks, at least have even if you don't think you can afford to, let's say, hire an attorney to do whatever you think may need to be done, at least have the conversation so that you know what things not to do to make your situation worse. Because I often had people who would come in and then they go, I need your help. And then I'd go, why did you do that? Well, I thought that would solve the problem or that. And I'd go, oh, my God, I would have told you never to do that. So now they've made it actually worse.
And
so, I'm always like, just have a conversation at least so you know what not to do to make it worse.
You know, and when we start talking about things like that, I know one of the questions, as we have here every week, we have a question of the week, business question of the week, and normally I might answer that we have an expert like yourself to answer that. And so Rolanda out of Delaware, Dover, Delaware, her question was about her personal credit. She, you know, she's building her business and she needs to get a line of credit and has not been able to. And she's trying to figure out what can she do to circumvent that. So I guess I would ask, you know, for you, what impact can personal credit have on a business owner's ability to get business credit?
Actually, it has a big impact, especially in the early years, because the business doesn't have its own real long-term history yet where a bank can look and say, okay, you know, you've been in business 5 years, and each year you've generated revenue, so we're comfortable with lending you money. In the, you know, in the first 3-4 years, they don't have enough of a track record yet. And so the companies that are lending money want to look at your personal credit to determine whether or not they're going to give your business any credit. So if your personal credit is way messed up, you're going to have a hard time getting business credit. And most people think automatically that the two are separated. You know, for example, if somebody works at a company, and you know how you get a corporate card from a let's say, American Express or whatever because you're working for a particular company, they still check that employee's personal credit before they get that corporate card. So I tell folks, your personal credit is often very much tied up into what you're trying to do. Now, for example, the young lady who asked the question, one of the things that she needs to do is obviously pull her personal credit to take a look at what's on there. Then she probably should have two conversations, one with the SBA, the Small Business Administration. She should take a copy of her credit report in and talk to them and say, okay, this is what my report looks like and this is what my score looks like.
Okay.
And have them talk to her about what items, because it may not be everything on there that she needs to deal with, but what items is it that they think she needs to start to deal with to improve her chances of getting a loan. And do the same thing with one of the SBA lenders. Like, for example, I think Bank of America is an SBA lender.
Mm-hmm.
Go in with a copy of your credit report and score and say, okay, my score is, and I'm just going to use a random number, 575. And this is what my report looks like. So the Bank of America can say,
you're looking at my court. No, just kidding. Go ahead.
Our minimum number that we need is 620, let's say. They may say, that's our requirements for you to get an SBA loan. And so you need to get from where you are to 620. And here are the things that we think you should work on that would probably get you to the point where you could qualify for us. Mm-hmm. So that way you know, okay, this is what they think is important. Because sometimes people look at their credit and go, oh, I need to get my score up. I'm going to go pay off this collection account from 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's $50. They're not thinking about that.
Fall off. Right. Uh-huh.
Right.
Uh-huh.
They're thinking about last month you paid your credit card late. That's what they're focused on. But the person's focused on the collection account from 5 years ago. So you need to go in and find out what the lenders in the Small Business Administration are focused on so you work on the right things. Because it's not often it's not, I should say it this way, often it's not that you have to work on everything. So you just want to, we have limited time, as we talked about earlier, you want to spend that limited time on the right things.
Right, effectively, right. That makes sense. You know, go in and see what they are looking for, because you might be thinking one thing, but they're absolutely thinking something else. And if you're spending all your time getting rid of the collection accounts from 5, 6 years ago, and you had a problem 12 months ago, and they want you to attack that, you know, that's the point. I get it. That makes sense. What are some of the best ways, you know, we kind of talked around that, you know, let me back up and ask you this. But before we do that, we do need to take a break. I want to come back. I've heard a lot about the credit scores and how everything is being calculated and some changes to that. So I'm really interested in that. And I wanted you to be able to share that with our audience. Would that be okay? Would you do that for us today? All right, wonderful. And if you're listening to us here, we are live on Wealthy Sisters Radio. I'm Deborah Hartnett, your host, and our very special guest is Ms. Sonya Smith-Valentine. She is the CEO of Financially Fierce LLC. I love it. She's a CPA and attorney, and she has information that she's sharing with us today. Make sure you go to WealthySistersRadio.com right now and check out our featured guest. You can learn all about Ms. Sonya, find her website information, and also want you to be able to call her up so if there are some challenges you might be facing, she can assist you with. So we'll be right back, Sonya, because I want you to tell us about what's going on with this new credit system here. We'll take a short break. Thank you so much for tuning in to Wealthy Sisters Radio.
Queen Anita Empire Online features luxurious African handmade healthy skin and body care products. From enhancing all-natural soaps, hair growth-stimulating shampoos, to delicious healthy drinks, great for arthritis, we have an extensive inventory of more than 450 items to begin your natural journey to wellness. Visit QueenAnitaEmpireInc.com. That's QueenAnitaEmpireInc.com. Remember, QueenAnitaEmpireInc.com.
DHerbs.com's Full Body Cleanse works to naturally cleanse and detoxify the body, to aid in weight release, enhancing the immune system, and increasing energy levels. The Full Body Cleanse consists of the blood and lymphatic formula, cardiovascular, liver, spleen, and gallbladder, lungs and respiratory, kidneys, bladder, and adrenals, colon and digestive tract, and activated charcoal. When you cleanse your body, you open up the door to healing and rejuvenation. DHerbs.com.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters.
Deborah
Hartnett. We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters. We're not listening to wealthy sisters. We're not listening to wealthy sisters.
Neighborhood
Net. You're live back here on Wealthy Sisters Radio. I tell you, it's a great show today. We're talking about discovering financial wellness and winning debt relief strategies. We're here with our special guest, Ms. Sonya Smith-Valentine. Sonya, when we took a break, we were going to talk about those strategies, or rather the changes to the credit scoring system, and I hope that you can give us your opinion on that as well. Don't want to put you on the spot, but
I'm hoping
that it's going to be better for us, and you know, then we can just go from there. But what's happening? What are they doing now?
Well, some changes are coming this fall, which actually I think are good changes.
Okay.
FICO, which is the company that created the credit scoring equation and the whole credit scoring model, has realized
which
that...
Which I think is like the Wizard of Oz, but that's my opinion. Man, the boot.
Well, luckily they've realized that there are some things that are affecting folks' credit scores that they should handle differently, and that is medical debt. So they're making some changes about how medical debt is going to affect your credit score. So, for example, one of the changes, let's say you had a medical debt that went to collections, and then you settle that debt. That debt is now going to be ignored for your credit score.
Really?
You had medical debt, went to collections, and then you settled it. They're going to ignore that debt. That collection account. Yes, that's what I say. And then
was that around some of the new health law? Was that packaged in there? Was that a part of that?
No, this was just a decision that FICO made on their own.
What happened
was there was a some research done.
Okay.
And they came to realize that medical debt is really different than most other debt that people carry, you know, your mortgages, your car loans, stuff like that. And that often, sometimes the reason you have these medical collections is not that the person didn't want to pay their medical debt, but there's so much confusion with was it covered by insurance, was it supposed to be submitted to the insurance company, how much was the deductible, that so much of that problem props up that it really wasn't fair to really bring down people's scores with this medical debt in the way that they are, and that medical debt shouldn't be, let's say, equal to you not paying your credit card or your car loan, because the level of confusion and problems that happened with health insurance and stuff getting paid and deductibles, they recognize
it.
They recognize, you know, we're really penalizing people in a way we shouldn't. So, you know, because many times if something comes up and you get a collection letter about your medical debt, you're like, oh, well, I thought that was paid. Okay, well, let me pay it now, kind of thing. Also, if you have medical debt that's in collections, they're going to, if you haven't settled it yet, they're going to at least discount how much it hurts your credit score.
Okay,
so,
that's good.
The collections that are settled, ignored. The collections for medical debt that hasn't been settled, it will still have some impact, but not as much of an impact. And so these changes are coming in the fall, and probably on average will be able to increase a person's credit score by up to 25 points.
Wow, that's good.
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's good. You know, that is a huge plus. Because the other thing is you've got to go back. I say you got to go back to business owners who I am. That's who I am, and I'm a champion for business owners, many who do not have insurance still to this day, or may have a type of insurance that does not cover those things. And, you know, it's a real situation that we look at here with the healthcare and way, not just the insurance and way things are billing, but even the cost of it. You know, it is. So
I'm glad that they made this change, because I think you know, like you say, most small business owners often aren't covered, and when you get sick, it's not something that you said, oh, let me go out and get sick. as opposed
yeah,
to you went out and bought the car, so you knew you were going to have that car loan. Or you knew when you used a credit card, you consciously made that decision to purchase. When it gets sick, it's kind of going, uh-oh, got to go to the doctor, got to go to the hospital. It wasn't something you woke up and said, I want to go get sick.
Right, and it's most of the time it's an emergency room visit, which can be a lot more expensive because they waited, you know, to the end until they were about to die before they went in there for fear of the cost and missing business, not being able to work. So,
Yeah, so I think this is a great change. I'm really glad that FICO is doing this, and I think it's going to be helpful because for people who are kind of right on the line as to whether they could get credit or couldn't, or, you know, on that line of would I get a better rate if I was, you know, just a few points higher because I would be in a different category, I think this is going to be great. I think people who couldn't get credit are going to be able to, and people are going to be able to get better interest rates now because they're going to have higher scores and put them in better categories.
Right, right. And let me ask you, too, I know there's a lot out here when we talked about, we talked a lot really about it at the top of the show about disputing with our creditors and how we need to really contact someone like yourself for some things that we can even sue for. But what are some of those ways or the best ways to deal with a dispute that you may have with one of your creditors? Because that's reporting this information on your report.
Absolutely. There are a couple of things that people should do. I recognize that everybody assumes if they call into customer service, that solves the problem. And unfortunately, that doesn't always solve the problem. I have had folks who've called into customer service and they've been told no problem, and then the problem still ends up existing. because customer service, they have a limited window of things that they can do. So I always say to somebody, yes, call the customer service. Hopefully they get started on the problem. But follow that up with a letter to the company. And I often say, don't send it to the customer service address because you're still getting the same customer service people. I say, spend a few minutes, hop on Google, find the headquarters address, and send your letter to follow up on your problem to the office of the president. Because you're not going to get customer service when the letter gets to that office. You're going to get some folks who are higher level management who are going to take your letter and give it to somebody specific to say, follow up on this problem.
Let me just say right there, Sonia, thank you for saying that. And that's not just for the credit. That's for any type of issue you're having with business. Customer service, they're trained to take information and take it out. You know, just take it in, take it out, nothing in between. The way they're training people, that we're not teaching people how to think, use logic. They have systems. You got to press this button. You ask anything else outside of pressing that red button that they were told to press, you know, you're not going to get it. So I love that you said that. You know, find the office of the president, and generally that's where you will get some type of response. And we do have to make the time to do that, though.
Right, you know, and it doesn't. And the letter doesn't have to be a novel. Often, it's better if your letter is a page at the most, just to the point. This is my issue. This is what I want to see resolving it, and send it in. And usually, like I said, you're going to get somebody higher up. Now, in addition to that, if for some reason between customer service and doing your letter doesn't get you a response, believe it or not, there are actually some governmental agencies that help with individual disputes. I know everybody talks about the FTC, and I love my people there because I know lots of people there. But the FTC is not set up to deal with individual complaints. They compile complaints so that if they get, you know, too many complaints about a particular company, they'll go after that company. But your individual complaint is not resolved.
Okay.
However, most financial institutions, credit card companies, mortgage companies, so on and so forth, all have a primary financial regulator. And that primary regulator, like there's the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, there's the new one, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, there's lots of them that exist. If you file a complaint with the regulator, they actually will contact the company about your complaint.
So if I'm with, you know, company, credit card company XYZ, I need to go online and Google regulator for credit card
company. No, there's an easy way to find out, believe it or not.
Okay.
This is actually the government getting it right.
Mm.
As much as we complain about stuff that they do wrong.
For that.
Right, exactly. This is one of those they got right. So you know, you call.
Oh, go ahead.
No problem.
Yeah.
So you call customer service and you've written in and didn't resolve your problem.
Uh-huh.
There is a website called helpwithmybank.gov.
Helpwithmybank.gov. Uh-huh. With my bank.
.gov. And if you go in there and put in the name of the creditor that you're having the problem with, it will tell you which regulator is the regulator for that company. And often has the link to the regulator site so that you can go file a complaint.
Wow. Wow.
I know. I was like, wow, you got it right.
Yeah, if you heard stories and success stories from that, you know.
I've used it for my clients myself. I use it all the time when I have a problem with a company and they're not listening.
Okay.
So,
okay, that's good. And we're going to have to tweet that. Helpwithmybank.gov. That's great information. Great information.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And that way you can find out who the primary regulator is and file a complaint to say, hey, look, I've called, I've written, I'm not getting any help. And often the company will get the problem resolved. They don't like regulators in their life.
Now, let me ask you, you know, does a person, before they contact them, does a person need to have reached out to the company several times, or can someone just say, you know what, I'm having this problem, I shouldn't be having this problem, let me just call the regulator?
No, the regulators want to see that you at least have attempted at least once to try to solve the problem with the company.
Okay, okay.
So that's why I say if you've called and then you wrote the letter to the Office of the President and you didn't get a resolution, I say then go to helpwithmybank.gov. Because besides the fact that you called, which often is your word against theirs, you at least have, here's a copy of the letter that I sent them. So now there's something in writing tangible to show the regulator, no, I actually contacted them, and this is what I told them, and here's my letter.
Right, and they should send it, I guess, with some documentation, a delivery receipt or something like that, showing that.
Certified return receipt requested, so you got proof that they got it. Absolutely. You know, I always say to everybody, and I know people say this is maybe a negative way to look at it, but I got to tell you, my clients, who've handled it this way have handled stuff much better. I go in, even for myself, daily life, I assume that they're not going to get it right.
Okay.
I assume that whomever I'm talking to on the phone is going to screw it up.
Okay.
And I assume that I'm going to have to write a letter. And I assume that I'm going to have to provide documentation. Because if it turns out that I have to get to the point of a lawsuit, I already want to have everything set up. Yeah.
Right.
So
and
I
it gets your mind ready, too.
Yes.
You know, I can
so
see
if
that
they,
for myself.
If they do it right, I'm happy. But if they do it wrong, I'm not now playing catch-up on what am I going to do.
Right. So it's just a matter of making sure you keep documentation so that if in case, you know, you never know that type of deal.
It happens all the time. I recently helped somebody in a fight that they had been doing with Verizon for quite some time. And luckily, that person had plenty of documentation of who she had spoke to, what she had done, so that when I got involved and was, you know, finally dealing with the right people at Verizon, and they were like, well, this happened. No, that's not what happened. Let me show you what happened. I've got the documentation, you know. Because sometimes, even though you're dealing with somebody at the company who's above customer service, they don't always have access to all of the records at the company.
Right.
So there have been many times where I had copies of letters that they couldn't even see.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, and it's on the top end of that as well, it's it's the point that they don't have the copies, like you said. But, you know, you never know what someone is doing, you know, to make sure that file is correct in the first place. So you definitely want to keep everything on you, you know.
Exactly. Because stuff
place,
gets
right?
misfiled, attached to the wrong account all the time.
Right. Right, right,
so,
right, right. Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I tell you, Sonia, this has been a great, great subject matter we've been talking about. And if you just tuned in, you're listening to Wealthy Sisters Radio. I'm Deborah Hartnett, your host, with our very special guest, Ms. Sonia Smith-Valentine. She is helping us today prepare financially. And also, we're talking about those debt release strategies. And, you know, this time is moving fast. I wanted you to know, if you just missed the first half of the show, you can catch this show and all of our other great shows. Don't you worry. Just go to WealthySistersRadio.com, WealthySistersRadio.com, and check out our library there for all of our great shows and this one as well. And Sonia, you know, as we wrap up here, I know there's a lot around identity theft. I've seen it's huge now. There's so many services out here, commercials. Can you share with us today, you know, what are the best steps to take to minimize the chances of becoming a victim of identity theft and having that negative impact your score? Because it's not so much even in the financial. I know there's medical as well.
There's all kind of identity theft.
Yeah.
Criminal.
yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The number one thing that I always say to folks, if you are not shopping for credit, which most of us on a regular basis are not.
Right.
You know, until you need to buy a car or whatever. What you need to do is put a credit freeze on your credit reports.
Okay.
Not a fraud alert, but a credit freeze.
Okay.
And what a
credit freeze
is, it is something where you let each of the three credit bureaus know, look, I don't want you giving out my credit report to anybody but my current creditors who already exist.
Mm-hmm.
So they will block access to your credit report. Let's say somebody gets a hold of your information and says, you know what, I'm going to go open up a MasterCard in your name. Well,
mm-hmm.
when MasterCard goes and asks for your credit report, the credit bureau will say, sorry, it's frozen. We can't give that to you. And MasterCard
mm-hmm.
is not going to open up a new account without being able mm-hmm. to see someone's credit report.
Mm-hmm.
So that has blocked that thief from now using your information.
Now, how come I don't hear people talking about a credit freeze like that? Is it a fee for that? How easy is it for someone to put a freeze on their credit?
It is very easy. You just
okay.
would have to go to each credit bureau's website, Experian,
okay.
Equifax, and TransUnion. It's a like a $5 fee to freeze it.
Okay.
And it will stay frozen until you decide to unfreeze it. And it's,
okay.
what happens is when you freeze it, they send you a PIN number that
okay.
is your PIN number. So anytime you want to unfreeze it, you just have to contact them with your PIN number and say, I want to unfreeze it for a week or 2 weeks or whatever or a month because I'm shopping for a mortgage or car loan, whatever. And they will unfreeze it for that period of time so that you can do what you need to do, and then they'll freeze
okay.
it back.
Oh, all for $5. Okay. That's good.
So, right. But
yeah.
this way,
yeah.
you know, every time you turn on the news, you hear this place has been hacked and this place has been hacked and this place has
right.
been hacked.
Right.
You don't have to panic each time because you're like, my stuff is frozen, so good
right.
luck.
right.
You know,
right.
they can't
right.
use your information. That is probably the number one way to help
mm-hmm.
really minimize your chances. The reason
mm-hmm.
you don't hear about it is because businesses don't want
mm-hmm.
that promoted.
Yeah,
you know how
no,
often you're in the store and they're like, would
yeah.
you like to open up an account for another 10% off?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
If your
yeah.
credit is frozen, you can't open up instant credit.
Right,
so in
right.
the business's mind, you're hindering our ability to do business. So that's
right.
why it doesn't get promoted. But it exists.
Right.
It absolutely exists.
Yeah, and then I'd imagine the theft prevention, they probably don't want it as well, you know, for you to buy all of these other things to prevent.
Right, they want you to buy the monitoring
mm-hmm. yeah,
of
the
your
monitoring.
Credit.
Right.
The problem
right.
is
exactly.
the theft has already happened.
Right,
So now you've monitored, yes, we can minimize how much it impacts, but why not do something that helps prevent it from happening in the first place? The freeze helps prevent it from happening. The monitoring is just such that you get notified sooner that you've been a victim. I'd rather go to sleep knowing the chances of me being a victim have been minimized. I'm going to put a freeze on.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. Well, Sonia, I tell you, this has just been a great show. I appreciate the information that you've shared with us today, and I want to encourage everyone to go to WealthySistersRadio.com right now. Click there on our featured guest so that you can go to Sonia's website, learn more about her. And do you help people all across the country, Sonia?
Yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, just about 60 seconds, what would you like to leave our guests with today?
I'd like them to go to financiallyfierce.com, which is my website. I have plenty of information because I'm a believer in sharing information, and I even have some information on the products page where they can get additional help, CDs, DVDs, books, to help them really start to learn the information they need to know.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Sonia, we want to thank you so much for joining us here on Wealthy Sisters Radio Show today. We look forward to seeing you again here. Continued success to you. And thank you so much for being a champion for all of us and helping spread the word about how we do not have to lay down and take it, and there are alternatives there for us. Continued success, my sister.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, we've come to that time in the show where our very special correspondent, financial correspondent, Ms. Marcella, has some words to share with us today.
This is Marcella Mullen-Williams with your Wealthy Sisters Wealth Strategy segment. Imagine being retired before you're 30 years old. Now, if you're older than 30, imagine being retired on time at whatever age you desire. It's possible. And the more you plan towards it, the more realistic it becomes. If the idea of retiring before the age of 30 seems a bit out of reach, think again. I recently read an article about a man who retired at the age of 27. Yes, you heard me correctly, 27 years old and retired. His retirement wasn't due to overnight financial success. Instead, he created a well-planned strategy and executed it precisely. Thus, he retired at an age when most of us are still swimming in debt. As a wealth strategist and coach, I teach my clients about why it is imperative to define long-term goals and create a strategy that is manageable and realistic. So here are four tips I suggest to start bringing your retirement age closer. One, make an executive decision. Oftentimes when people think of retirement, they think of being in their late 50s and early 60s. And while that's most often the case, an earlier retirement age is possible and depends on the amount of money you want to have saved. To make an executive decision on your retirement, decide on your desired after-tax financial goal and ideal age for being retired. Two, write out the X's and O's. Create a deliberate, realistic, and actionable plan to make your retirement goals come true. Be meticulous in your planning by sitting down with a financial planner and creating a strategy built around your dreams of property ownership, investments, savings accounts, and debt management. Three, build your bench strength. Whether you are a business owner or you have a team who relies on you, make sure you have people who are suited to fill in for you when it's time for you to retire. Training employees to take higher leadership roles will make your exit strategy easier and also increase your quality of retirement. And four, what does retirement look like for you? This is the final point, but actually, it's your first step towards retirement. You can set your financial goals and do everything you need to carry them out as planned. But if you don't have a clear understanding of what your retirement years will look like, it will stop you in your tracks. So be imaginative or visionary about your retirement. Think of the places to travel, things to do with your money, personal goals, and more. Retirement isn't the end of life. It's the beginning of enjoying what you've spent a portion of your life working towards. When you plan out the details and make smart steps towards reaching your goals, you can look at retirement as a phase of life where you have the financial means to really enjoy yourself.
Thank you so much, Marcella. Please go to WealthySistersRadio.com, click on our featured correspondence, and you can learn more about Marcella Malone-Williams and all of our other dynamic correspondents. Well, we again just want to say thank you so much for tuning in to Wealthy Sisters Radio today. And, you know, as we end our show every week with the power song, importance of knowing that you are in control, that you have the power, and to definitely not lay down and let anyone take it from is often a concern that we talked about. But when there's something wrong, go ahead and settle it. Don't put your head in the sand. Go ahead and take care of it as soon as you can, because there's no reason for you to be afraid. You know your intentions. You know where you stand, and you know that you are in control. You are powerful. You're not powerless. There are ways around whatever situation you might be experiencing. So know that. And also, as we talked about earlier, any concerns around debt or challenges, there's no need to feel bad about that. It's not. It doesn't define who you are. It's life experiences, lessons that we learn from. You are still the best you. And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing broken. I love that, as Abraham Hicks or Jerry Hicks, Esther and Jerry Hicks, they say, it's nothing wrong. It's nothing broken. You are who you are, and you are who you're supposed to be. So we encourage you to continue to tune in to us every week here at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at Wealthy Sisters Radio. And also, if you miss us live, that's okay. You can catch us at our WealthySistersRadio.com, and you can download all of our shows there. We're on iTunes, free for you. And remember to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Wealthy Sisters. Thank you so much. We'll see you again next week. And as always, we wish you and yours the best of everything great.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters.
Deborah Harnett.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're now listening to Wealthy Sisters. We're not listening to Wealthy Sisters
Radio Show.
We're not listening to Wealthy Sisters
Deborah Harnett.